Well, it's good to see everybody here. We are short-handed today because we have several who are out sick. Some are under quarantine because of the virus, and others have surprisingly made it out today, even though they're not feeling good. So we're glad to see everyone that is here. Our lesson today is a simple one. Is your name written in heaven? Well, we're going to, actually, everyone's name is written in heaven. Everyone. But they're in one book or another. And how can one be sure their name is in the right book? That's what we want to focus on, making sure our name is in the right book in heaven. In Revelation 20:15, it talks about the fact, and books were opened, and people were judged by the things in those books. And Revelation 20 also says that if anyone's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire, burns with fire and brimstone. So we're going to focus on the Lamb's book of life for the most part. And we'll discuss the others just a little bit. But in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20, says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. All right, Jesus acknowledges their joy, for there is nothing wrong with being happy about such accomplishments. Yes, they were doing a lot of good, and they were doing it for the Lord. And so they were happy about that. And what they have done is a foretaste of the final defeat of Satan. And that's true. As Jesus said, I saw him like falling from heaven, from the sky. And so, but then he cools their enthusiasm just a little bit because their focus, they had missed an important point. And that point is the fact their eternal salvation was not dependent upon their ability to work miracles. See, he had given them the power, but their eternal salvation was dependent upon them trusting in him to be their savior. I mean, that's where our salvation is going to come also, in trusting Jesus to be our savior, trusting God to be our savior. And so he wants them to understand there is something better than being able to perform miracles. And this is what Jesus was teaching them. And Paul also taught the same thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, some people have the ability to do miracles. That doesn't put them in a higher echelon or anything like that. I mean, we're all Christians. So miracles will not produce salvation or holiness. I mean, but their message confirmed by the miracles will do so. The message that was to be confirmed, that the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, that's it. In Hebrews chapter 2, he talked about the fact that at first was spoken by the Lord, but then confirmed to us by those who heard, being confirming it with signs and wonders. And so they used these early miracles to get the word started and establish these churches all across the region. And so the point is, nobody was ever saved by a miracle. And that's one thing that the world kind of seems to have this idea, you can be saved by a miracle. No, nobody is ever saved by a miracle. Now, if they come to accept the fact that this miracle was done and they saw it and they recognize that's the power of God working, then they're going to pay attention to the message. Just like the widow whose son passed away and Elijah went and laid on him, brought him back to life. She said, now I know that the word you speak comes from God. And so, yes, that was the purpose of the miracles, was to demonstrate this message comes from God. Nicodemus told Jesus in John 3 the same thing. Master, we know you are a teacher from God, because no one can do these things except God be with him. And so the working of miracles was done for a purpose. And so his point to them and Jesus and to us is that it is better to possess the eternal salvation of God gained through obedience to the word than the temporary miraculous works that would earn mankind's short-lived gratitude. And this was the problem Paul was facing. Even though the Spirit had given to some various gifts, we read about 1 Corinthians 12, some people were kind of hesitant to promote their gifts, and some were all too happy to say, well, I can do this, I can do that, and they were kind of becoming bragging about it. And they want, well, I want to be able to do this or that. But see, the Spirit gave as the need was there. And so they had a misunderstanding of these gifts, as Paul had to correct that misunderstanding in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Now, the age of miracles would soon cease. And when Paul was doing his writing there, that's what he said. Miracles will cease. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13, he talks about that. But the salvation offered through the confirmed message would last through the ages. The gospel, which was given to us once for all, as we read there in Jude 3. So it offers man a hope in heaven. And so that's what we have. We have a hope in heaven. So it is today. And so no matter what a person may accomplish in this life, no matter how many outward works of piety one may show and rituals one may perform, if one does not have an active faith, a confident trust that obeys Jesus from the heart, showing a willingness to obey him, he will not have his name written in heaven. I mean, so, yeah, we have to show that we are obedient to him. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so, Hebrews 5, 9 says, Jesus, the author of eternal salvation, to all those who obey him. Most denominations in this world kind of downplay obedience. They want to throw it all on God and say, well, God's grace covers it all, so we don't have to do anything. And anybody who does say we have to do something is working on a works merit-based type of religion. And, of course, that is false. If we obey what God tells us to do, then God is going to reward us. It's no different than we read in the Old Testament. When Moses spoke to the people there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, says, if you will serve the Lord, he will bless you. And then in verse 15 of that chapter, he says, if you just turn away from the Lord, he will punish you. I mean, it's no different today. If we will obey the Lord, he will bless us. And if we turn away from him, he will deny us. Just like Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you. So, is your name written in heaven, and we'll add, in the right book? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. See, the record in heaven has been known throughout the scriptures. See, Luke 10:20 that we just read, be sure that your names are written in heaven. Yes, there is such a record being kept. And God keeps a record in his book. If you read Psalm 56 and verse 8, has reference to the book that God keeps. Yes, he has two books there, actually. And so, but really, technically, God doesn't need books because he is perfect in his understanding and knowledge. So this is basically for our benefit to understand this is how he keeps these records. Just like we keep records in books, so God does also. So it's called in Malachi 3:16, the book of remembrances. And specifically in that context, who is God going to remember? In this particular case, his remembrance will be those who turned their back on him and did not worship him properly. Their names will be put in this book of remembrances. It's called the Book of Life. You know, Philippians 4:3 talks about those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's also called the Lamb's Book of Life there in Revelation 20:15. Anyone's name not found there will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. It is a register or record of those who are citizens of his kingdom. You know, Paul says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, Hebrews 12:23 reads this: to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteousness, men made perfect. Enrolled in heaven. In other words, God keeps a record up there in heaven. So, is having your name enrolled in heaven really important? Well, yeah. I mean, let's just say it. Yes, it is. So, and the way we should look at it, personally speaking, doesn't matter to me if my name appears in some material publication, but I really care about having my name written in God's Book of Life. And I hope you feel the same way. You want your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether we get any recognition here for whatever we might do, that's really not that important. But doing things that God is pleased with, that's where our focus needs to be, and that's what is important. If it is recorded there and not blotted out, it means I won't end up in hell. See, our name can go on that record, the Lamb's Book of Life, but if we continue to sin, God will blot our name out of it. And yes, he has a marker board up there, and he can erase it real easily if he needs to. If we ask for forgiveness, he will forgive us. He'll wipe the slate clean, and we can start all over. In fact, what a great blessing that is to be able to know that at any time of the day, if I ask forgiveness, I have a fresh start every day. Every time I ask forgiveness, I have a fresh start. I can get back on the pathway, and I don't have to worry about the sins that I may or may not have committed. All right, so I don't want to end up in hell, and I'm sure you don't either. So you want to make sure your name is not blotted out of that book. See, getting to heaven means I will be associated with the best company one can ever have. I mean, that's something to look forward to when you think about it. I mean, God in Christ is going to be there. I mean, Revelation 21:23. And we also know from Scripture that Old Testament worthies, those whose names are recorded there in Hebrews chapter 11, and the heroes of faith, you know, the New Testament apostles and the saints of the New Testament will be there. And so they're all going to be there. And we're going to be able to be part of that group. And yes, many of our loved ones, many of the people we have known who have passed on, they will be there also. But what if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, on the other hand, if a person's name is not found written in heaven, what kind of company will they have in hell? Well, Satan and his angels. Jesus talked about that, the place of Satan and his angels, and the false prophets and others like him, all those who commit abominations, all those liars, and all the ungodly, the wicked, and the cowardly. They're all going to be there. And I guess I ought to throw in here, and all the hypocrites are going to be there too. So, I mean, they're all going to be there. And so, question is this the kind of neighbors you desire to exist with for eternity? I mean, that's something we need to think about. See, heaven. See, but let's think not only of the company one will find in those places, but about the conditions and the environment under which one will live. See, we are going to live forever. So let's see what this is. Heaven will be a place of rest. Now, God kind of describes it that way, a place of rest. And so that's what it's going to be. And it will give rest to those who have been afflicted. It'll be a place of joy, Revelation 21, 3 and 4. It's going to be a beautiful place. I mean, the author John, he tried to put this in word pictures for us, and he just described probably the most beautiful things that he could just imagine. I mean, it was probably, and like Ephesians 3:20 says, whatever we think or imagine, it will be abundantly greater than that. So, I mean, sometimes words say something, but they just don't say enough. And so it's a place of joy. And yes, we also understand comfort and peace will be there. And it's a place of life. I mean, it'll be eternal life as Jesus described it. And there will be continual worship taking place. You'd think, you know, an hour on Sunday morning, that's kind of pushing it for some people, you know. I mean that's kind of messing up my week. Take 1 hour and do that. And then, of course, getting people to come and go to class, learn more about God, how they should be living. I mean, that's 2 hours. And goodness, Wednesday, Sunday night, that makes 3 hours a week. And how, I mean, yeah. At least I can go to church in my pajamas on Wednesday night, but still, that's 4 hours out of the week. Oh man, that's so much for so many people. Can you imagine spending the rest of eternity glorifying God and giving Him praise and glory forever and ever? I mean, if you don't enjoy worship now, here on this earth, do you think God is going to let you enjoy it in heaven forever? See, that probably won't happen. And yes, we'll have an immortal body. We won't have flesh and bones. We'll be spirits, just like God is. And we will share in all of this together with God. If we go to hell, hell will be a place, a lake of fire, as we read there. An unquenchable fire, as Jesus described in Mark 9, 43 and 45. It'll be a place of torment, as Revelation 14, 11. It's a place of wailing and anguish. Jesus even used the phrase, gnashing of teeth. It's a place of outer darkness, complete, total darkness. You know, Peter talked about the blackness of darkness, which you can just imagine. I mean, how dark can that be? If you ever happen to go in to take a tour of a cave sometime and they sat you down and turned out the lights, you want to talk about darkness? That's it. They make you sit down because if you're standing up, you're going to fall down. You might hurt yourself. They make you sit down. And then you can't see anything, and so that's it. Can you imagine sitting there in the darkness and something all of a sudden is crawling across your neck? How are you going to like that? I mean, that's just a horrible thought. But you know what? That could be what's happening there in the outer darkness. And of course, both these places we're describing are eternal in duration. Some people like the idea of eternal heaven, but hell is just going to be, you'll just be there for a little while and then you'll be burned up and you won't exist anymore. Well, that's not the way Jesus described it. Jesus said, where the worm dieth not, where it's not going to pass away, it will be continual. And so we're either going to listen to man or we're going to listen to Jesus. I think Jesus knows what he's talking about because Jesus is God and he prepared that place. Now, how does one get one's name written in God's book of life? Well, we know it's not by goodness alone. I mean, that's true. There's a lot of good people in this world. There's a lot of people we think the world of because they're just nice, they're sweet, they're kind, they're considerate. They might be good neighbors. They might be good co-workers or friends. And they might be good people all around, but that's not enough. You know, Cornelius is an example. In Acts chapter 10, he was a good man. I mean, but he still had to obey. He was a good man. He gave alms to the poor, and he did a lot of things that we might consider he was a very righteous individual. But you know what? Jesus said, "Who can forbid water that these might be baptized?" In other words, they need to be saved. And so they weren't there. One will not get their name in the book of life by just being religious. There's a lot of religious people in this world, and some of them are pretty decent people. But just because they're religious, that's not going to get their name in the Lamb's book of life. See, the false prophets of Revelation 14:10 and 19:20 and his followers, they were religious. I mean, we look out in this world today, there are billions upon billions who follow some form of religion. Just because they're religious does not mean they're going to heaven. Just being religious is not enough. You know, Jesus talked about those who teach the doctrines and precepts of men, Acts 15:9. He says that's not going to be acceptable to God. And Paul talked about the fact that those on Mars Hill, "I perceive you're very religious. I see all these altars, and I even saw this altar to the unknown God. Let me tell you about this God that you worship in ignorance. He created this world and everything in it. And it's in him we move and live and have our very being." So yes, I mean, Paul talked about these things. And Paul talked about the false type of religion that's out there. Some people practice self-abasement and cutting of the flesh and other things, which they think, well, this brings me piety or something like that. That's not enough. Some might think just talking and thinking about it will be enough. Well, I have an intention. I'm going to get myself right with God someday. We've heard that before. We've all heard that from somebody we care about. I'm going to get right with God someday, just not right now. I mean, so talking about it, thinking about it. But Jesus said otherwise. See, obeying the gospel gets one name written in the book of life. So we have to know that. It can later be blotted out, but if one is not faithful, I mean, we know that's the case. I mean, just because your name is put in that book doesn't mean it's written in stone. I mean, it can be blotted out. God tells us that. After one becomes a Christian, one must continue to be faithful. We have the passages in the scripture tells us we need to be faithful. 2 Peter 1 talks about adding to your faith, continuing these things, and don't forget these things. The one who forgets it is like the one who's forgotten the purification of their sins. But he who abides and adds these things to their faith will not be disappointed. I mean, they're going to abide there. So we need to apply diligence in those things. And of course, Revelation 2, the angel says, "Be faithful until death, and you'll receive the crown of life." Jesus said, "You must remain faithful until the end." So if they fail to do this, God will blot their names out of his book of life. And so several scriptures confirm this. You know, Moses talking to God. God says, "You know what? I'm going to wipe out my people. I'm going to start over with you." And Moses, bold, very bold. I think he's the only one in human history who was ever this bold in speaking to God. He says, "If you do that, I don't want any part of you." I mean, that's basically what he said. "I'm not going to do that. You can just blot my name out of your book because that means you have gone against your word. You made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his descendants, and you're going to go against that? I mean, I'm not going to be a part of that." And so God says, "You're right. And so God did not wipe out the people. And so we can thank Moses for that. All right, so, yes, Scripture confirms that some people do fail him and have their names blotted out. You know, Revelation 3, 4, and 5, the church there, he says, I'll blot your names out of my book. All right, so it's there. And so, your name could be blotted out of his book. Why? By failing to overcome the practice of sin. You know, Revelation 3, 5. I mean, these people in that church in Revelation, they didn't stop the practice of their sin, so God says, I'll blot you out. If we continue in sin, he's going to blot us out. We might be faithful for 30, 40, 50 years, but then all of a sudden we just give up and start living our own way and not doing what God wants us to do. Guess what? Our name can be blotted out. And I don't want that to happen, not only for me, but everybody I care about, and that includes all of you. I want you to be reminded that we have to grow until we don't have that ability anymore. See, worldliness will cause one to have his name blotted out. If we put more affection towards the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, I mean, that's all going to perish. And if we can't let go of the world, then our names are going to be blotted out. See, being lukewarm and indifferent will cause one's name to be removed. That's what God says. Since you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. So how about you? I mean, let's just ask you, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you have obeyed the gospel, and if you have remained faithful, yes, it is. It is there. And when you leave this earth, you'll get to go to heaven. I mean, that's just that simple, as long as your name is there. But if you have not been strong faithfully, if you haven't kept with the word, if you haven't been growing in grace and knowledge, there's a question mark there that you ought to be asking yourself. Is my name really written in that book? I mean, some people delude themselves into thinking, well, I'm okay. You know, these ideas, people have this idea, well, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. I mean, we look and no, that's not the case. God told us who was going to be okay. Those who are obedient to his will. And not just some of his will. Obedient to all of his will. So you got to question yourself, are you in danger of being blotted out? You know, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, test yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Or do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? I mean, this is a kind of like a statement and a question combined that Paul said to them. But folks, we've got to examine ourselves and realize, okay, is my obedience going to be good enough to get me into heaven? That's how we need to look at it. Some people ignore that. Some people are like, well, I read about grace, so God's going to overlook all my sins. He's going to let me go in there anyway. Well, that's a false thinking. Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So folks, that's where it comes down to. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we living the way God wants us to live? And if we are, then our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if we're not, we can consider that right now we have the opportunity to correct that, to get back and be right with God. So consider these thoughts. And if there's anyone who has a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.